Welcome to CBSSports.com basketball podcast, the Pick and 12 podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. On the Skype waves, I have the Mr. Bombastic, Romantic, Fantastic blogger, Matt Moore. How's it going?
You dropped that video this morning. It's going to be in my head all day.
I know. It popped in my head this morning. And I thought I could just let this go or I could ruin everybody's day.
And then I started thinking, I know you hate nicknames, but I, of course, being like, oh, I've got to name somebody Mr. Bombastic. I got to find somebody ridiculous to give that name to. I'm thinking about somebody that, like, never dunks. Like, somebody who just specifically never dunks. Like, Chuck Hayes, Mr. Bombastic.
That would actually work a lot.
So, yeah, how's your weekend?
It was good. The return of the kid, Ricky Rubio, came back. I had a nice little family outing. On Friday, went up to Duluth for my lady friend's brother's graduation from University of Minnesota Duluth in the engineering program. And then I had a little Rubio debut on Saturday, and I watched football yesterday and watched some basketball and did some writing. How about you?
I coughed and hacked and wheezed.
You had the opposite weekend that I did.
And what else did I do? Oh, there are other things which I don't really want to mention because it was disgusting. I got like the flu last weekend, stuck with me for like 6 days.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you watched The Wizards.
And then I got food poisoning on the back of it.
Nice.
I'm just livid with my immune system right now. I'm like, really, guys? Seriously? Come on. We can't pull together. It's Christmas. Come on.
Well, this smallpox blanket I got you for Christmas now is just useless.
So Ricky, yeah, you've got a big piece up on CBSSports.com about Ricky. I haven't read it because I've been sick, but yeah, it was funny because they almost lost that game about five times.
Oh my god!
And it's everyone's like, you know, I read this morning like Ricky Rubio led them to victory, and I'm like, y'all realize he didn't actually play in overtime.
Right? Well, the thing is they were down big early. They were down like 12 points, 10 points when he checked in. And he immediately, like, they weren't playing good defense. They weren't getting back. Their offense was stagnant. And he came in, and just like last year, like, it just changes everything. Like, it's very cliche, and it's overused. But he comes in, and he changes the game. Like, even... they played him a little over 18 minutes. His limit was 16 to 18 minutes for the first game back, and they cheated a little bit. But even in limited minutes, like, he comes in and it just changes. Like, Derek Williams is all of a sudden a very good role player that game. And, you know, probably a lot of that is matchup-based, but Ricky finds him the ball. Last year, Derek Williams shot 63% in the restricted area when he played with Ricky Rubio, and when he didn't, it was 54%. Like, there's just a huge drop-off in his game. And... he, you know, for his first pass, he whips this one-handed bounce pass to the baseline to a cutting Barea that got goaltended for kind of a cheap assist because I don't think the shot was going in. And then he comes down for his next assist. He comes down, like, hesitates a little bit on the pick and roll. Steensman gets in the lane. He bounces up. He, like, scissors his legs and bounces a pass through them. It might have gone through Elton Brand's legs, but it's kind of hard to tell. Like, I was sitting there, what, 50, 45 feet away from the pass, and I had no idea what happened. And that's just what he does. Like, he's just really fun. Like, he hit his first jumper. His next two three-pointers that he attempted were really short. Like, you could really see the rust there. He pulled up for one more shot to try to win the game in regulation. And then, yeah, he didn't play in overtime, but the life had been injected into that team.
When Ricky Rubio plays, it's like the 190 year. When, like, Ricky Rubio's return, the 190 year when you use more caps lock on Twitter than I do.
Oh my god, I didn't know how to turn it off. It didn't even say caps lock anymore. It just said Rubio time.
Yeah, you know, it was funny because last play of regulation, he makes a really swift driving kick past Ridenour.
Yeah,
got a good look, just couldn't knock it down, and then of course like. Then it went into, like, the offense kind of fell apart, and it went into, like, I think everyone on that team kind of cleared out because they were like, It's like everyone bought into the narrative. Like, he's going to hit the game winner.
Yeah.
He's going to hit the game winner. And it's like, well, no, he still can't shoot. No.
It actually was a good – it was the best – I thought it was even a better looking jumper form-wise than the first one, which he made. And if you look at the situation, he has – he's got Kirilenko on the weak side, kind of hovering around like 16 feet, and then he has Pekovic setting a pick for him and rolling. So Pekovic already has the offensive rebounding track, which I think he got, and they had like two or three tips to tip it in and win it. Like it was actually a good look because they had the offensive rebounding advantage.
Yeah, that's true. And they don't really have shooters. That's
yeah, and, but you're right. It was kind of the narrative of like, oh, sure, let's see if he can win this game.
Right. Let's see how crazy we can make this night.
Yeah, exactly.
How many t-shirts can we sell right now? Yeah, the team definitely does seem to be energized by it, and everyone seems to be energized by it. I wonder if it's going to become eventually kind of a deal with Durant and Westbrook, where Love keeps getting like all of the criticism no matter how he plays.
Yeah.
And Durant gets a pass on everything, including his inability to maintain position, just because everyone just loves Ricky so much. Like, he's just basketball joy for pretty much everyone.
He just, like, I honestly believe if you offered to not pay him in money but pay him in Disney movies, he'd be like, oh, that's a great deal.
So they get a big win, and they're, you know, maybe they can start getting healthy. And
yeah, they've won four in a row.
Yeah,
which kind of crept up, and they've got Orlando tonight. And Ricky will play tonight. They're not going to play him on back to backs just yet, so he won't play tomorrow night in Miami. But he'll play against Orlando tonight. And
feels like a trap game to me.
Yeah, it kind of does because they played a really awful Orlando team last time. Like, Orlando had a bunch of injuries to their already bad roster, and Minnesota just did whatever they wanted against them. And I feel like it wouldn't shock me if they didn't take this Orlando team seriously on the road tonight.
Yeah, and Orlando's 4-6 in the last 10. Like, they're not. Yeah. They haven't been terrible. They're on another little run where they're like, oh no, we're not so bad.
And I don't believe Etuan Moore is gonna you know, play 28 minutes tonight.
I'm the same way with Portland. Portland's won two straight and got another big win last night. Damian Lillard game winner, and I'm still like, no, this team's not good.
It was weird because it wasn't a good shot, but it just seemed like you knew it was going in because he kind of just does this now.
Yeah.
The Batum.
Let's just start there. I want
the Batum 5x5. How about that?
Yeah, 5x5. That was awesome. I love those kind of stat lines. I want to do this though. I'm gonna throw out like four or five teams to you, and I want you to tell me whether you think they need to make a dramatic change.
Okay.
And let's put it within the context of to achieve what you think should be their goal, not to win a title, because that's not every team's goal.
Right.
It's unrealistic. But for what you think should be their direction, if they should make a big, you know, sea-altering change. And let's start with the Blazers.
No, I like where they're headed. I think the important thing is that, you know, I think LaMarcus Aldridge sprained his ankle or had some kind of ankle injury at the end of the game last night. And so maybe he misses some time, and I think that actually benefits him. I think you need to let Batum continue to figure out what it's like to be a player with high usage, or much higher usage than he was worth, or than he was used to with Nate McMillan. I think it's important to let Damian Lillard learn how to be a point guard in the NBA. I think it's important for Myers Leonard to get time, and for Wes Matthews to be healthy and be a role player off those guys. And you take that, you know, hopefully take a high lottery pick into the draft, and you get another bit of talent, and you've got cap room flexibility, and you bring in a veteran or two, and then I think you're set up for next year to make a real run at the playoffs.
Yeah, I disagree. I don't know. I don't like the core.
What don't you like about the core?
I guess Batum is obviously better than I expected him to be. And so if I'm looking at it, I'm like, well, all right, well, they got Lillard, who's obviously good, And they got Aldridge, who's obviously good, and they've got Batum, who's obviously good. That should be enough. I'm just not necessarily sold that that kind of concoction of those three players is going to be enough for them to go forward. And for me, it's like I want them to find some sort of – if they're in a rebuild, obviously, after last year. They're in a rebuild.
Right.
I want to find a concoction that actually I can be like, okay, we can compete, maybe if not for a title, but at least we can be like, all right, we can be a Western Conference finalist team. And I'm like – Lillard, Batum, Aldridge with Wesley Matthews, that doesn't say that to me. They need another big piece.
But could, if I'm there, let's say
I'd actually rather – and honestly, part of it is the way that things are going with LaMarcus Aldridge. Like, the tenor around him in terms of the media and the team is kind of shifting, and I'm wondering if it's just – if it's one where things are getting kind of stale there.
It's not the same because it's not the same personalities and it's not the same caliber, but you can kind of see some similarities between like the Rubio love dynamic with the media and the fans here and the Lillard Aldridge dynamic in Portland, you know?
Yep.
They love the new point guard. The older guy's a little cranky and they're not crazy about that and they're kind of tired of him in a way. Like you can kind of see it, whereas that's the weird thing I don't understand about the media and the fandom. Like, there has to be just one star, you know? Like, you can't just like both of the guys and hope they're both together. Like, you kind of have to pit them against each other for some reason. I don't get that.
Well, and part of it is just that Aldridge has had a chip on his shoulder since he was drafted, because he was drafted as an afterthought.
Right.
It was, oh, okay, yeah.
It was, let's get Tyrus Thomas.
It was Brandon Roy and Craig Oden.
Yeah.
Featuring LaMarcus Aldridge. He was... you know, he's the throw-on there. He was kind of the guy that's, like, listed on the rap track that you don't actually know who that is, and you're buying it for whoever the main guy is.
Yeah.
And he's always kind of been – he hasn't really ever minded it, because I don't think he's necessarily a big attention whore, but he's also – I just think he's probably tired of the fact that, you know, when they lose, it's why isn't LaMarcus Aldridge better, and when he wins, it's – you know, when they win, it's always somebody else.
Yeah.
And so,
I could see the idea that they need to make a change in terms of Aldridge should probably go when you try to bring in talent with what you get for him. I just don't think that that's necessary. I think that you can put Lillard and Aldridge in a pick and pop game for the next 5 years and just destroy teams.
Yeah. You're always more stable than I am, though. I always advocate like massive change for no apparent reason.
calling me more stable. You clearly were not following my tweets during the 49er game last night.
yeah, by the way, big weekend for you. Ricky Rubio and the Niners beat the Patriots.
Yeah, oh no. I got to check and see if I have like a random lottery ticket in my pocket.
If your lady friend had made you like bacon wrapped fillets, it would have been.
Oh, no. She made this like insane braised short rib French soup concoction last night that I ate while watching the 49ers, where it was pure heaven. Like, all I needed was a Celine Dion cameo in my living room singing My Heart Will Go On. It couldn't have been better.
Meanwhile, my wife left, so I had, like, Wendy's. I'm, like, ill and sitting around.
Just sitting by a bucket waiting for sadness to happen.
Right. The Chiefs are absolutely the worst team in football. Everything is terrible. So that uplifting message is brought to you by Toronto.
They really do.
Hey, 2-2 now without Bargnani.
Get the hell out of here. That is, that means nothing. They just do. Like, there isn't – I don't know. I kind of talked myself into thinking there was a direction before the year. And I got to talk to Bruce Arthur a little bit last week. And, you know, he's all for a change. Like, I think you need Calderon out of there. You need Bargnani out of there. And you need to just be bad and let the young guys play. And I think you can get a lot out of that by having management tell Dwayne Casey, look, we're going to clear out, we're going to let you play the young guys, and you're going to lose games, and we're fine with that. It's not going to affect your job security. And I think if you do that, I think you give – because coaches are – it's weird. Like, you want them to develop young players and you want them to give them time and stuff, but their record is what matters. Their record is what guarantees them having a job next season. And so they, and Rick Adelman even said, you know, last year, potential gets coaches fired. And I think if you take, if you guarantee and you take away that, that, you know, worry and say like, hey, regarding you, you know, assuming you don't like fight a player in the locker room this season, you're going to be fine going into next year and the year after most likely. Then I think it gives them an ease to really nurture the young guy's progression.
And I agree with all that. So let's go on and let's do Dallas.
I don't know what they change. Aren't they just waiting for free agents?
I think there's, I mean, you've got some flexibility there. You've got some guys you can move. You've got Carter, Marion, and probably Kamen you could probably ship too. I mean, to me, that's like a big thing is, and I mean, look, Chris Kamen is a very serviceable player. He honestly is.
He's not good. He's not good. I mean, it was a thing where we're watching him Saturday night. He hits his first two jumpers from the outside, and everyone on media row was like, "Oh, good! Now he thinks he can hit the jumper," right. and he was just terrible the rest of the game.
Yep, and he also was a big part of them losing that Boston game too.
Yeah,
so it's just a.
My question for you is, how long do you think Marion is an effective role player?
It's a tough one. I think he's got.
It's weird, right? Because we just assume guys drop off at a certain age, and yet
some guys don't, though.
And yet it's trending towards that not happening. So you, and with a guy like him, you wonder, you know, he's become less athletic and more intelligent as a player as the years go on, as you tend to do. But there seem like we can't figure out where the cliff is with him.
Well, let's see, he's got this year, and then he's got a player option for next season.
How old is he? 34?
How old is Sean Marion?
Did I make that up?
I feel like he's younger, but then I always think he's younger. 34. He's 34 now. He'll be 35 next year.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think he play. You know, assuming he doesn't opt out, which is a possibility, but I don't know. I think he's pretty happy there. If he doesn't opt out, then I think you let him play out his contract, and he's still serviceable then. I think whoever picks him up, depending on that situation. I guess that's part of the thing, though, right, is if it's a very terrible team, you can acquire him, and he'll go ahead and pick up the option.
Yeah, exactly. And with him, like, I think, all right, let's say he has 2 to 3 more good years after this one. Is that worth getting Dirk healthy just for the hell of it, let's say they signed Dwight Howard this offseason. Then you have a front court of Marion, who's good for a couple of years, Dirk, and Dwight Howard. I mean, or what's the alternative? You trade him for assets? I mean, I kind of feel like on that team, you would much rather keep him around, which is why I don't know what they do.
Something interesting here is, you know, Marion's got the opt-out, Carter's got the opt-out, Damian Jones or Dante Jones is expiring, and Vince Carter expires in 2014 as well. So, you know, I look at that and I'm like, you know, they really do have, they've got some flexibility. Although, I bet he's going to try and get under the cap, and the objective might be to do a sign and trade because there's so few of them, and he's talked a lot about how teams are going to be restricted in which teams can do sign and trades.
That's true.
So maybe that's the objective.
Can the Lakers do a sign and trade to get rid of them? Are they going to be allowed to even like look at a free agent with their salary with their luxury tax?
Who?
The Lakers? Can they even do anything with Dwight Howard? Can they even call him an offer? Or is that luxury tax penalty going to be so severe that they're not even allowed to talk to Dwight Howard?
I think it's crazy that everyone thinks that like, I'm always like, they have like a $5 billion TV deal. They're fine. Like, they can afford it. Like, it's fine. Like, they have all the money in the world. It's just a matter of whether they want to. It's just a matter of how much, it's pretty much how much, like, how much in profits do they want? That's the only question they have to answer. So yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting question. There's a feeling I think amongst all basketball fans that we really don't want Cuban to waste Dirk's end.
Yeah.
Like don't let him go out like that. Let him go out even though he won the title. Like let him have another run. How about Boston? This is a really interesting one. I think given how they play, they very nearly lost a bad game against the Mavericks. And they are, you know, they're 5-5 in their last 10. They've lost two straight. Starting to slide again, especially defensively.
Yeah, I don't.
Hope, not hope. Still going to trust in the process?
It's not that I trust in the process. It's that I don't get what they get out of going a different direction right now. I mean, what is there a move they can make that puts them up there with the Heat?
No, I guess that's a good point.
And they're not going to get enough. You know, it's not like they're going to shed salary and get under the cap and be a player for free agents this summer, right? So, I say maintain and try to be annoying in the playoffs. Like that's really what their goal is to be annoying, right?
I mean, they'll tell you shot at a title is the plan that they've got.
Yeah, they'll tell you it's they're trying to win a title, but really, like, they're just trying to be annoying.
And one more, Denver.
That is a good question. I feel like
let's set the table. Okay, they're 13-12.
Yeah, they've played 89 road games so far.
89 road games. They're 6-1 at home, 7-11 on the road. They're 5-5. They're 500 in their last 10. They've won two straight. They finally started to put together some quality wins. They get a big one over Memphis on Friday night, a game I could not attend, unfortunately. Big win there. You know, there's signs that the heartbeat is starting to come into the team right when you want it to be, which is they want to start kicking ass on January 1st. So that's kind of to set the table.
Yeah, and what's funny is I saw them here in Minneapolis on Wednesday. They were here, and the Wolves were playing their 19th game of the season. The Nuggets were playing their 17th road game of the season, which is this weird anomaly with the schedule. You know, I've never been one who thinks highly of their postseason chances, so that makes me want them to make a trade. I don't know what that trade is. I mean, we've talked about trying to get Millsap, right?
Yep.
Or Al Jefferson, either one. And so I guess that is the move to make, but I don't know that it really improves their postseason chances that much. I say make a move because they've got the assets to make a move, and I don't get what you're holding on to. But that's such a trick. I don't know. I honestly don't know. It's a tricky team situation. What would you do?
I would make a move because I don't necessarily think the idea is that they're holding on to assets in case that special situation arises. If that one magical situation were to come up, that they can get the third guy. The problem I think for them right now is that Lawson has had such a bad start to the year, and he really needs to be an anchor for them.
Yeah,
it needs to be Lawson, Iguodala, X, or Lawson, Gallo, X. You know, they have I was worried they would have redundancy with Gallo and Iguodala, and they do. And it's not that it's a problem, because they have two good defenders that can get to the basket, who can pass, and have a lot of athleticism and a lot of strength. And that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But they have weaknesses in other areas because of the amount of talent that they have tied up in the wing position.
God, I'm just looking at Lawson's breakdown of his shooting, and it's from 10 to 23 feet. He's like 26%.
And he doesn't shoot enough threes. Yeah, that's crazy. Like, whereas, he should just be like launching.
Yeah, and last year he was like around, you know, a little over 40% from that area, from like 10 to 23 feet, and it's like, you know, he's still finishing, he's shooting threes about the same what he was doing last year, but there's just such a huge drop-off in his shooting.
You know, and you have to think that some of that's going to improve, and he's had good games. The problem is, like, he'll have, like, a really great game for 47 minutes and then fall apart.
Yeah.
So, but it's not one of those where I think that you move him, because I don't think you're going to get a better point guard return, and if you have a good point guard, you have to hold on to him in this league.
Yeah, and can you even move him? Because he signed the extension. Is there a poison pill? Or is that kicking next year?
There's no poison pill, and it's... You know, it's one where they've proven they can trade guys that sign new contracts.
Or not poison pill, but base year compensation. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. I mean, I think you can probably move him.
I don't, but that's the thing. Like, why move him?
Yeah.
You know, he's still a really good point guard. It's just, and God, his free throw percentage. He's shooting 67% from free throws.
Look across the team. It's a nightmare.
Yeah, that's weird.
There's no reason for it. They don't have shooters that are that bad. So, it's really weird, too, because I feel like no matter what they do, they're going to be in a position to really piss off the fan base, because the best way for them to improve is to trade Gallo and Fareed together. And those are two guys that the fan base loves.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to get a superstar in return.
Yeah.
To do that, to satiate the fan base, really.
Yeah. It's hard to see there being one. And the idea is that you never know when one's going to come available.
What about?
But even like looking at anything reasonable, the market's so dry after the last 3 years for stars. Yeah.
What about LaMarcus?
Oof.
Would they do that? I think I think Portland does that. And
They got Gallo and Fareed.
You go big with Gallo and Batum on the wings.
And Batum can shoot. So yeah. So you got Lillard. You got Lillard, Batum, Gallo, Fareed, and J.J. Hickson.
Yeah, but fill in, I mean, grab a center this offseason.
And in a draft that's center heavy.
Yeah, I mean, and it kind of solves issues for, I mean, the thing Denver would need is they would need Wilson Chandler to get really healthy.
Yeah, they would. And the other thing is
they would have absolutely no three-point shooting.
They still don't. Though.
Right, but I mean, you take away Gallo, and there's no hope.
Yeah, they have to get a shooter back. Although maybe they take Wesley Matthews' contract.
Yeah, I think we just solved both of these teams.
Done.
How are we not GMs? I mean, other than the savvy business sense and actual scouting knowledge
and lawyerly knowledge,
right?
And ability to run a company.
Other than that, though.
Other than that, though, we really should be running a team. So let's talk about Bynum.
Yes. He had some thoughts before yesterday's Lakers Sixers game, and there was a little.
You say that he had some.
Thoughts. He had some thoughts. It was weird because he came out and said that he thinks they traded the number one center for the number two center, and people like start freaking out about that, and I started thinking like, well, isn't he supposed to think that?
Do you ever want a guy saying, "Well, I'm the second best center in the league"?
Yeah. I mean, if Dwight came out and said, "I think I'm the second best center in the NBA right now," everyone would freak.
I think it'd be refreshing to see a guy do it, though.
Yeah, if Monte Ellis was like, "I think I might be top 10 shooting guard,"
that'd be great. I would love that. Monte Ellis was like, "You know, if I was just more efficient, I really think I'd be."
I just can't stop taking these shots.
It'd be incredible. Like, I would like him so much more if he was just like, "I just can't help it."
Yeah. What was a weird thing about the Bynum comments? The thing I found weird It was like, oh, I don't really pay attention to them. Oh, by the way, let me tell you everything they're doing wrong right now.
They aren't posting the ball.
Right, they're not posting the ball. Like, well, you're either not paying attention to them or you know everything that's wrong with them and you are paying attention. It was a little bit like the scorned ex.
I also like that he's basically saying, well, the biggest problem is that Kobe's still taking too many damn shots.
Yeah. I mean, was there one mention of defense there?
No, of course not.
Here's the thing about the Lakers the last two games, and, you know, their schedule helps this because they played the Wizards and the Sixers. They're playing defense when Dwight's on the floor.
Which is big.
I mean, it sounds really basic, but you kind of need them to get back to basics, right? I wrote about this.
Practicing today, supposed to play on Tuesday.
Yeah.
And so if they play defense when Dwight or Powell is on the floor, if you can stretch out their minutes, cover one another.
God, if only they were talented enough to play like 40 minutes each. What I like in these two games is that they are finding role players to step up, which is probably a bigger problem than them not posting the ball, as Bynum would say.
They just need to, they need to improve in areas of being a team, or so much of it, just like basic basketball stuff. And maybe they'll get there. It's a long, long, long season.
What about Bynum's comments about how Kobe held back his development?
It's hard for me to buy into that from the perspective of Bynum's reputation is just so bad for giving a damn.
Yeah.
I don't know. What'd you think?
I think that there are certain guys that need like a tough love kind of thing. And not that Kobe really loved him, but I think having to earn Kobe's respect weeds out who belongs and who doesn't. You know, as much crap as everyone started giving Kobe for Smush Parker's comments, there's a certain thing of, if you prove that you can play with Kobe, then you belong on his team, and it is his team. And Bynum had to earn that. I mean, Kobe wanted Bynum traded for, what was it, Jason Kidd?
Yeah.
Wasn't that the deal? Yeah. I mean, Kobe went on that parking lot rant that was, captured on some guy's phone, talking about how do we not trade Andrew Bynum for Jason Kidd? Like, this is a no-brainer. And once Bynum, kind of got that fire lit under him, and then they brought Powell in to compliment him, that's really when his game took off.
The other thing I think is that I always wonder about their dynamic, because Kobe says he loves him, and they talk very strongly about each other, and they won titles together. I always think back to this, which is last season when Bynum was sitting on that bench during the timeouts and not being involved in the huddle at all. How does Kobe Bryant not get in his face about that?
I guess my question
Mike
is...
Mike Brown or not?
I guess my question is, can he hear the time, what's being said? Like, is he a guy that needs the visual
images? But he also
images?
Wasn't paying attention. Like, he was just clearly, like, off in his own world.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I just don't know if they're going over stuff that he already, like, Red Auerbach had that, basically said, why would you draw up a new play at the end of a game? You should be running stuff you already do. And if they're just going over stuff that they do, and he knows it, does he really need to be involved? I mean, I guess that's where you need to know, like, the team dynamic and who, what they're saying in the huddle and everything.
It was just weird to see every single Laker in the huddle except for Andrew Bynum, who's off by himself.
Yeah.
And it's maybe it's an earpiece. Really bad tone.
Maybe like a Secret Service style, communication system, so he could hear everything.
Okay, what we got on tap tonight?
We've got the T-Wolves at Orlando, which should be riveting. Actually, it will be riveting. Rubio's playing. Everyone should watch that. You should watch 18 minutes of that game.
Ricky Rubio, Jameer Nelson tonight.
Ricky Rubio, Ish Smith.
Oh, God.
It's a backup point guard battle. Rockets at Knicks, the return of Lin's sanity to the Garden.
This kind of dreading it because I feel like there's only here's the really weird part is there's been a lot of comments lately about how Lin's been terrible. The last couple of games I've seen, not just the one where he broke out, like he's been playing a little bit better.
I think that I like the way he's playing because I don't feel like he's just dominating the ball, like he kind of expected him to do. But I don't know. It's weird because if all this stuff didn't happen last year and he's playing the way he's playing, would people be saying, see, he's not very good? Or would they be saying, oh, you know what, maybe this guy can turn into something?
Hey, Jeremy Lin's not terrible. Look at this.
Yeah, exactly. That, like, I think just the coverage and the perception of him shades exactly what people think of him as a player.
And man, New York media has turned. Oof.
They got their new toy, and they are done with the old one.
And Raymond Felton is the kind of player that you want on a championship team.
I do like it's funny to me that they keep trying to drag Raymond Felton into it. And he's like, I wasn't here. Why would I care?
Right? Like, I don't have any part in this.
Yeah, like I didn't do anything. Why are you bringing me into this?
I got signed. It's almost like, well, do you think they made the right decisions? What are you expecting to say? No, they really screwed up.
Yeah, no, they really screwed the pooch on this one.
Great move, Knicks.
Two other really good games on tap. Bulls at Grizzlies, Spurs at Thunder.
Spurs, Thunder, too, I'm excited for. This is one I want to see this. I want to know. I want to see exactly how good each team is. I hope we get both teams coming on strong.
It doesn't mean as much to me because Steven Jackson.
He might play.
Oh. Well, that's a lovely surprise.
Yeah, I'm looking at it right now, actually. Probably going to post on it. Is Jackson will play Monday.
Huh. Okay,
And Kawhi Leonard could return.
Okay, now both of those guys are back. I'm in.
Yeah. So... the Thunder were an emotional and basketball mess after the trade. And then they landed the Spurs early. And the Spurs won that game in a really tight one because of the infamous Russell Westbrook.
Oh, my God. I'd forgotten about that. It seems like years ago.
Where the hell are you going?
Oh, he went and guarded Ghost James Harden in the corner.
Ghost James Harden. the Spurs have been, it's really been weird because I got completely sold on the Spurs and then immediately they went in the tank. They've hit some rough times. Like the Jazz loss was not good.
Yeah. They're also another team that's played a lot of road games early.
Yeah. Well, kind of played, I would say.
Right. When they send their players.
When they decide to play it. So that one's good. I'll tell you. The Bulls are, I'm writing baseline awards right now, be up by the afternoon. They're my Eastern Conference team of the week, despite going 2-1, because I was really impressed with how they played.
Yeah.
They lost to the Clippers, but they were right there with them for most of the game, just ran out of steam against a very good Clippers team. And, I'm starting to see what you see about them. They've won some big games.
I just think they're a pain in the ass in the regular season. You know, like that defense just sucks to deal with on random nights.
And this is such a good matchup because you've got Jono versus Gasol, you've got Boozer versus Randolph. That's such a good matchup on both ends, really.
Especially they bring in Taj.
Yeah, you've got Dang versus Rudy Gay. That's a really good matchup. You know, it's almost like that's kind of like the inverse, like the flip. Like I think most people would take Dang over Gay.
Yeah.
But it's still. That's a lot of athleticism, length, and ability. And, then you've got, Conley versus Nate Robinson. Well, okay, that one's not so good.
Well, but Conley versus Kirk Heinrich. Oh, never mind.
That's good. I don't know. Hollins versus Tibbs. That one's going to be really good. We've got two really, really, really fantastic games. And then we've got Kings Suns.
Clippers Pistons, too.
Clippers Pistons. By the way, the lines, Grizzlies are given 6 at home. Thunder are given 4.5 at home.
God. I mean, Grizzlies given a lot of points at home to a good Bulls team.
Yeah, but the Grizzlies are really good at home.
Yeah, that's true. I would take the Bulls, I think.
The Bulls tend to run into trouble when they get out-talented.
Yeah, I think if Grizzlies win this, it's close.
Yeah, but even 6, though. 6 isn't huge. If it was 6.5, even, I would kind of see where you're coming from. I mean, 6 is just, that's up by 4 with a minute to go. Bulls miss a three-pointer to bring it within 3, and then foul, and Grizzlies hit 2 free throws.
Yeah, but Nate Robinson's chucking at the end. 8-point game, he hits a 3 at the buzzer. You cover. I could see Nate Robinson screwing up a lot of bets in Vegas.
That's true. Yeah. Nate Robinson, harbinger of doom.
And what's Thunder Spurs? 4.5?
4.5. That sounds right to me.
Yeah, that's about good.
You give them 3 for the home and then 1.5 for they've been playing better.
Yeah.
And not wanting to get embarrassed.
Who do you take there?
I like the Thunder. I haven't the Spurs defense was had me convinced and then fell off a cliff. So, and that's not true. They haven't fallen off a cliff. They've just not been as good as they have been. They have been, where have they been? Last week, I've got the numbers up right now. They were 14th in defensive efficiency this week.
Yeah, so, not bad, not good.
Not good. And it's more just that Jazz loss. I was like, come on, guys. Even though it was Mo Williams, I'm just like, come on, guys. Like, yeah. don't be listening to Jazz.
Over under, 6.5 Rubio assists tonight. He had 9 in 18 minutes in the first game. Just, and by the way, just no big deal. Has a 35 PER right now.
You're out of control.
Oh, my God. Just wait till Twitter tonight. Not only is Rubio playing tonight, but there's also the 2-hour series finale of Gossip Girl.
I was gonna ask you about that. Let's talk about that. I'll take the under on Rubio. I think he'll finish with 5.
Okay, yeah, that's probably safe. Yeah, I mean, if you do not like me gushing over Rubio or me talking about Gossip Girl, I suggest unfollowing me tonight.
It's the ending of an era for you.
It is. The problem. It's good. You kind of get bummed that these shows are ending, but it needs to end. Like, the storylines have just gotten kind of weak, and especially with having a short season like it does this year, they've really rushed through a lot of storylines where they probably needed 3 or 4 more episodes, but everyone wants to go do, you know, their movie career now on the show, so you had to get rid of it.
I'm sorry, what movie career?
Oh, you know, Blake Lively and... you know, Blake Lively's going to be in the town too, I'm sure. But it's, you know, that's, it's, it kind of sucks that they're gone, but I think that, you know, they're going to bring back old characters for the big finale. We're going to find out if Chuck Bass's dad, you know, his dealings, if everything comes to light, even though, you know, he's fallen off, spoiler alert in case you haven't watched lately, fell off a building. Is he dead for good this time? Last time he faked a death? There's a lot going on. Are Blair and Chuck going to get together finally? Do they finally get to love each other? It's a lot.
Have they already determined who Gossip Girl is, or do they find out tonight?
I think we find out tonight. Wow. You know what my guess is?
My wife's very excited about it.
You know my dark horse for it? David Faustino from Married with Children.
Of course, you should not watch Gossip Girl tonight. You should watch CBS programming because it's great.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Mike and Molly, they're probably on. There's got to be a CSI on, right?
There's got to be a CSI somewhere.
CSI Albuquerque. It's got to be something on. Yeah, no, just watch CBS and illegally watch Gossip Girl on an internet feed.
Yeah, it's funny you talk about, like, we talked about teams kind of, like, if they need to make a move, just to make a move because things are stagnant. And you talked about, like, shows just need to end. I'm like, I'm there with, like, a bunch of shows.
Yeah.
I'm glad, like, The Office has actually been surprised. Everyone's like quit The Office years ago, but The Office this year has actually been really good.
You know who's made a surprise comeback? It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Awful. Yeah. Awful the last 2 seasons. Last 4 or 5 episodes have been stellar.
I'm also, How I Met Your Brother's in that road for me too, where I, like, my wife and I are just, we scream at the show every week. We're just like, for the love of God, you've got to put an end date on this so we can actually, like, just move towards the finish line. It's just wasting time and driving me nuts.
And, you know, everyone's the same way with Leverage on TNT and Rizzoli and Riles. Rizzoli and Isles? I don't know. I actually don't know what the show's called. I think I just made up a show about Pat Riley and someone named Rizzoli.
By the way, you and I are both connoisseurs of terrible action films. I would advise you just to go, just Google, just go to YouTube and search for like trailers 2013. I spent much of last night looking, just watching trailers for action films for next year, and there are some amazing ones.
Give me 2 to look out for, if you can.
Pacific Rim is this movie about gigantic monsters.
I'm in.
That come out of the sea.
Okay.
From a portal in the Pacific Rim.
Is this like Howard the Duck Part 2?
Wait, it gets better. It gets better. So in order to fight them, humans engineer gigantic robots to fight the monsters.
Ron Perlman's in it. I'm sold.
And then After Earth actually looks really cool. It's got Jaden and Will Smith together.
Oh, just the 2 of us.
and then they crash land on Earth after it's been abandoned for years, and so like all the plant life has evolved. So that looks cool. And then, but if you want absolute ridiculousness, look at the go watch the trailer for The Lone Ranger.
Oh,
Johnny Depp is Tonto.
Johnny Depp.
I'm not kidding. He's Tonto.
Okay. I'm actually surprised. It's a Johnny Depp movie with Helena Bonham Carter, and it's not directed by
Tim Burton.
By Tim Burton. This is groundbreaking.
And what else did I watch? Oh, there's also one called Oblivion, starring Tom Cruise, that just looks bizarre.
Oh, that's with Morgan Freeman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, with Morgan Freeman and basically looking like Morpheus from Neo, from The Matrix.
Are we still podcasting? Am I still recording?
Still podcasting. So anyway, enjoy the basketball. And that's a lot like the Knicks.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Matt.